Our epistle for the sixth Sunday after Pentecost is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Romans. Brethren, all we who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death. For we were buried with him by means of baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ has arisen from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we also may walk in a newness of life. For if we have been united with him in the likeness of his death, we shall be so in the likeness of his resurrection also. For we know that our old self has been crucified with him in order that the body of sin may be destroyed and that we may no longer be slaves to sin. For he who is dead is acquitted of sin. But if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall live also together with Christ. For we know that Christ, having risen from the dead, dies now no more. Death shall no longer have dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives unto God. Thus do you consider yourselves also as dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. Continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 8, verses 1 through 9. At that time, there was a great crowd with Jesus, and they had nothing to eat, and he called his disciples together and said to them, I have compassion on the crowd, for behold, they have now been with me 3 days, and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away from their homes fasting, they will faint on the way, for some of them have come from a distance. And his disciples answered him, how will anyone be able to satisfy these with bread here in a desert? And he asked them, how many loaves have you? And they said, 7. And he bade the crowd recline on the ground, and taking the 7 loaves, he gave thanks, broke them, and gave them to his disciples to distribute. And they set them before the crowd. And they had a few little fishes, and he blessed them, and ordered them to be distributed. And they ate, and were satisfied. And they took up what was left of the fragments, 7 baskets. Now those who have eaten were about 4,000, and he dismissed them. Thus far the words of today's epistle and Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Thus do you consider yourselves also as dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. One of the predominant downfalls of man is pride. Selfishness. Self-centeredness. When a man is self-centered or prideful, he cannot put God in the right place in the equation. And when you don't do that, you sacrifice a lot. In today's epistle, we are reminded that we should consider ourselves dead to sin. Dead to selfishness. Dead to focusing on ourselves. When we are left of and by ourselves, we have little or nothing. And that is the problem that we see in the world today. We think we're so much better than we really are of and by ourselves. We far too often forget to look up and to the night sky and to consider how small we really are of and by ourselves. We're a speck on a speck among a speck called our solar system. In a cluster called a galaxy, the Milky Way, among how many galaxies? That's us, of and by ourselves. But the fact of the matter is, we are not of and by ourselves if we don't want to be. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, and God became man. Paid a price which was impossible for us to pay in order so that we wouldn't be of and by ourselves. If we would adopt an attitude of humility and contrition, we would open ourselves up to an amazing amount of grace and goodness, because we would open ourselves up to him. As it says in Scripture, a humble and a contrite heart, the Lord will not despise. Humble and contrite. Humble to admit, yes, our sin and our faults. Humility to admit our size and deficiency of and by ourselves. A humility and a contrition to call upon the Lord so that we could have connection with him and through him understand our true purpose. We often look at the good Lord as judge. And in our Apostles' Creed, we do say, who will come to judge the living and the dead, will come to judge the living and the dead. But right now, as we live and breathe, he is not our judge. He wants to be our friend, our intimate friend, our Savior, our Redeemer. When we read the Gospel today, and it starts out with a great crowd following our Lord, and he says to his disciples, I have compassion on the crowd. When he looks at us and he sees that we are trying and striving after him, calling upon him, he has nothing but compassion for us. That's where faith in his goodness needs to be held forthwith. We can say, oh, the Lord is good and this and that, and then do nothing about it. Or we can acknowledge it within our heart of hearts and turn towards him and allow him into the depths of our hearts. And it is then and only then that we have an ability that we would not other have, that we would not have otherwise. And that ability is the sharing of Christ with others. I've heard it said a number of times, well, we have to find Christ in our neighbor. And that never made sense to me. It's almost as if we are called to judge our neighbor, to examine our neighbor. No, I believe that we are meant to share Christ with our neighbor. Christ does say that he is the light of the world. But he doesn't say, and you must go and try and strive to find the light in your neighbor. No, he says, you are the light of the world. Why? How are we the light of the world? When we have connection with him and his grace. As we read of at the end of the Mass, the first chapter of St. John's Gospel, he is a light that comes to enlighten all those who sit in darkness, and the darkness does not comprehend the light. And understanding that, we are called, we have a vocation to share Christ and his goodness with others, but first and foremost, we must hold Christ's goodness and light within us. And that's totally up to us. He waits. He's patient. Now, as we established before in past sermons, it's not sufficient for us just to come up and receive Holy Communion. We must take the Christ that we receive at the communion rail back to our pews, communicate with him, And as he had left the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, with his disciples and the church, we have that same Spirit when we have connection with Christ. We call this sanctifying grace. And we're meant to take that out back into our homes, share it with our fellow members, not just partially, not just a good feeling, but absolutely. We have to be willing to promote the truth, no matter how hard it is. Not justifying it. The world justifies their own version of the truth, and it's not truth, it's hogwash. There's one truth, and that is Christ. And our vocation is to promote Christ. Absolutely. And if we can't promote it to our family members, then how in the heck are we going to promote him to the stranger and to the world? Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He who shall find me shall find life. But it's not sufficient enough for us just to find him. No, there's an obligation that comes to finding Christ, and that is sharing Christ. Oh, we can get a soapbox and put it up at the corner of the street, stand on it and yell out on a megaphone. There's a lot of people doing that these days. I saw a whole group of them protesting what they believed was social injustice just yesterday. Did it have an impact on many people? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. Most of the time, no. But there is one powerful sermon that we are meant to give, and that is the sermon of good example. You are the light of the world. Let your light shine before men that they might see your good works and rejoice in your Father who is in heaven. My dear friends, let us open ourselves up to the goodness of Christ. Let us invite him in to the depths of our hearts, into our day. Let us take him back into our home, absolutely. Share him with our fellow family members. And take him out into the world, the dark world that we live in. Let us not be ignorant about that. This is the devil's hour. There's no doubt about it in my mind. But he only gets an hour. God will have the day. But we're meant to counter his darkness by allowing his goodness. Let us make that our resolution, not just today, not just this week, but in our lives. Remember our motto for this year. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. Unless the Lord keep the city, they watch in vain who guard it. Unless the Lord is truly a part of your life, it's a waste of time. But he has compassion on us, and he gives us this moment to decide. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen.